Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we have Sister Kathy Flynn. Sister Kathy is a member of the Sinsanawa Dominican Sisters. Her preaching today is entitled, God of the Shards.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Abram's wife, Sarai, had borne him no children. She had, however, an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. Sarai said to Abram, "The Most High has kept me from bearing children. You have intercourse then with my maid. Perhaps I shall have sons through her." Abram heeded Sarai's request. And after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, his wife Sarai took her servant Hagar the Egyptian and gave her to her husband Abram to be his concubine. He had intercourse with her, and she became pregnant. When she became aware of her pregnancy, she looked on her mistress with contempt. So Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for this outrage against me. I myself gave my maid to your embrace, but ever since she became aware of her pregnancy, she has been looking on me with contempt. May the Lord decide between you and me." Abram told Sarai, "Your maid is in your power. Do to her whatever you please." And Sarai then abused her so much that Hagar ran away from her. God's messenger found her by a spring in the wilderness, the spring on the road to Shur. And he asked, "Hagar, maid of Sarai, where have you come from? And where are you going?" She answered, "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai." But God's messenger told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her abusive treatment. I will make your descendants so numerous," added God's messenger, "that they will be too many to count. Besides, you are now pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard you. God has answered you. This one shall be a wild ass of a man, his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. In opposition to all his kin shall he encamp." Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named the son whom Hagar bore him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. The Word of God. I wanted to pitch today's reading and choose one from another day. This reading from Genesis is horrible, I thought. It's the type of reading that has been twisted to condone behavior that simply can't be condoned, to keep the other in her or his place, to glorify suffering, and worse, to paint our God as a God who causes suffering, a retributive God. Yet as much discomfort and anger as this reading caused me, I felt impelled to explore it further. I get that we have to contextualize Scripture so that we understand the time and place in which it was written, the literary form it takes, and the culture to whom it was directed. However, Scripture is nothing if not timeless. It offers us meaning today, just as when it was originally inspired. And I believe Scripture is nothing if it does not offer its readers direction and hope. And so I wondered, how could this reading offer us any hope or any direction? Abram and Sarai are aged and childless, automatically cause for being looked down on as less than. They have slaves, common in those days. As a barren woman who knew what being childless meant to her husband and to his and her status in the community, she offered Abram the sexual services of her slave, Hagar. Nice. Had this been a contemporary writing, Sarai would be considered the equivalent of a pimp, or at least a madame. Abram impregnated Hagar, who then, in Sarai's perception, looked disdainfully at Sarai because she was barren. And so Sarai angrily complained to Abram, who told her to do whatever she wanted to do to Hagar. And so in her anger, Sarai abused Hagar. Hagar did what any person in her right mind would do, or at least would want to do. She ran away. And this is where this story gets incredulous to me, where we must read it critically and preach against its base message. Hagar runs away only to be stopped by an angel, a messenger of God, no less, who tells her to return to Sarai and to submit to her abuse, to just take it. And for her trouble, Hagar will bear a son, Ishmael, the first in a long line of descendants. Well, sorry, this doesn't sound like a fair deal to me. I ministered in a domestic violence shelter for women, and I've worked with women suffering from mental illness, mental health collapse, and homelessness. It has been documented that 50% of people experiencing homelessness have suffered some form of abuse in their lifetime. From the statistics we kept in the places where I ministered, that percentage is certainly significantly higher. 80 to 90% is more likely, and perhaps even higher. Abuse takes many forms, some blatant and very visible, like physical abuse, some more insipid and invisible, such as verbal, emotional, mental, and financial abuse. In each case, abuse tears at the fabric of a person's soul, sometimes slowly and sometimes very quickly, suffocating the person's spirit, her or his very God-given essence. According to the UN, last year, more than 87,000 women were murdered around the world, the majority at the hands of a family member. That's the size of a small city. Women and girls, especially those who are economically and materially poor, disproportionately suffer from physical, mental, emotional, verbal, sexual, and financial abuse. Women suffer the abuse of exclusion within our own church and in the global economic and business arenas. And we know abuse isn't perpetrated against women only. Men suffer too. Do we really believe this is what God wants for any of us? I simply can't believe that our God is a punitive God or a God of retribution. I can't accept that the divine who is love sanctions violence by anyone, against anyone. That is not the image or likeness of the God that I know and love. And if we truly believe that we are made in God's image and likeness, how and why would God condone violence against God's own self? So what is the message of this reading? You know, I don't know. But I think it's that God never abandons any of us, and certainly not those who suffer violence at the hands of others. That God is with us in the muck and messiness of life. Our God journeys lockstep with us because of the very God seed planted in our soul at our creation. Our God does not inflict violence, but is who I call God of the shards. God who treads lightly on broken glass, caresses swollen lips, whispers to ears assaulted, outward signs of internal bleeding, touching everything, every last scab and scar, bringing peace, wholeness, healing to Hagar, to all victims of violence, to the dispossessed, to us.